I'm going to read a prayer, but I'm going to just base not the sermon or the words that I'm about to speak on this prayer, but on the end of this prayer, what the Lord details for us to be like. Before I say this, how many really, don't raise your hand, I don't want to see that. And you probably don't want to raise your hand anyhow, as of yet. But at the altar call, you need to raise your hand. How many just would love to hear something that God has to say to your heart today that would bring change to who you are and what he wants you to become? Well, if you turn over there to Matthew in chapter 6, verses 9 through 13, the Lord's Prayer is there. It says, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." But in verses 14 through 15 is what, when I was praying yesterday, I just wanted to give something that was so important, so pertinent for your lives. Something that'll help you every day. Something that'll give you strength to be that overcomer that you know you need to be. But because of our humanity and the things that we fight every once in a while, I'll just be light when I say every once in a while, we struggle with this subject. We really do. We struggle with the subject of forgiveness. We really do. People have hurt us. People have said things they shouldn't. We're living in a world that is being overcome by racism again. Uncalled for. There's hate. There's anger. There's bitterness. I don't apologize that I'm drawing this picture that seems so bleak and in despair and cloudy and confusing, but it's true. We come into the church on Sunday to receive something from God that we could carry on through the week that'll help us be a better person. Help us have a cleansed mind or a sanctified mind and a thought pattern that would honor God. That we would take every thought into captivity under the obedience of Christ Jesus as we go through the week. That we would press towards that high calling of God in Christ Jesus. That we would forget those things which are behind. And we'd move forward into what God has for us. That we would be simply clarified in our hearts and our minds that we are the sons and daughters of God. That we have been adopted into the family of God, not by the spirit of fear, but by the spirit of adoption, whereby we would cry out, "Abba, Father." And we would know that every day the Holy Spirit bears witness to our spirit that we belong to a great family. Amen. Amen. That we belong to the family of God. How powerful is that? How powerful it is to know that we have that. But in verses 14 and 15, now listen to me, I want you to read with me. "For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you." You know how important that is? This is where Christianity fails. Oh, we don't fail so much on overeating, under tithing, even on telling the pastor that I couldn't make it to church last week because I didn't feel good and really the football game was on. Whatever it may be. This is where we fail. We fail God and we fail us. We fail our church. We fail our families. We fail here. We don't forgive. Our nature is built because of sin. We've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. You all don't mind if I preach a little bit, do you? Amen. I'll get started in a minute. The older I get, the harder it is to get that engine warmed up. But we realize that because of our nature, because of sin, even though we've been forgiven, we've come to the altar of God, wherever your altar may have been. It could have been at home. It could have been in the front seat of your car on the way to work. Could have been in a prayer meeting at a friend's house. It could be at these altars here, where you ask God to forgive you of all your sin. You've invited God into your heart. You ask Him to cleanse you because you wanted to become a new creation. Behold, all things then became new. Old things have passed away. You wanted to be an ambassador for Jesus Christ here on this earth. You wanted to be a disciple for the Lord. You simply wanted to feel better about yourself. You wanted to know that you weren't on your way to hell, but you were on your way to heaven. In other words, you were heading one direction, you were heading south, and God turns you north. And you feel better about yourself. Things are good. It's okay. There's no really unforgivable sin except blaspheming the Holy Spirit. And to tell you the truth, in the day that we live in, and when Jesus was consecrating that scripture to those disciples listening, it's very difficult today to blaspheme the Holy Spirit as though what they would do back then, because of the altars and because of the temple and all the other things they did with inside the realm of temple worship back then. So there's nothing that anybody has done that cannot be forgiven. Amen.
Amen.
You can be forgiven of everything. But here is our nature. Two things in our nature I want you to concentrate on before I really begin to preach is this. We have a hard time forgiving others, and we have a hard time forgiving ourselves. We really do. We have a really difficult time doing that. And the other thing is we have in our life is that we're never satisfied with what we have. We always want more. I knew a friend of mine one time, and I won't share names, nor will I tell you the place. But in his briefcase, and this is a true story, in his briefcase, it was a metal aluminum briefcase that he carried with him. He had long flowing blonde hair, a beard. And I was meeting with him in Santa Rosa, California. And I said, "What's in the briefcase today?" He said, "I have $1 million. I said, "Well, I thought you told me that when you got $1 million that you would stop doing the things that you were doing." And he said, "You know, I thought the same thing, Dennis." He said, "But when I got $1 million, I carry it with me now to remember what I did think. But now I want more." We're never satisfied. That's what retail builds on. Now I'm going someplace. Are you with me? Have I lost you? I'm not easy to follow sometimes, but if you hurry up, I'll wait. I'll let for you to catch up with me. The world retail is built on that. That's what it is. It's built on the fact that you want something better, nicer, cuter, that'll make you look better, make you look skinnier. Whatever it may do, you're going to get that to wear it. But what God wants you to do is look better in your heart. Because He's already building your mansion. It's already complete. He already sees the end of your destiny. He's got everything under control. Yesterday, and the day before, and the day before that, and as I know, you know I pray a lot, I was praying about many issues and carrying many burdens for many people. And I was just overwhelmed by those. And pastors sometimes get that place if they love people. And I got a note in the mail sent to me, and I opened it up. Now, this person knows nothing about what I was praying for, what I was praying about, and whom I was praying about, and what burdens that I was carrying. But I opened up that little envelope that came to my home address and our box at the end of the road. I opened it up, and inside there was a hand-drawn smiley face. It said, "Smile." I opened it up, and it said, "God has it all under control." You see, the Lord was speaking into my heart. "You're carrying too much. Remember who I am. So listen to this for the rest of the sermon. God knows how much you are carrying. What he wants you to do is to remember who he is and what he can do and what he has already done for you. Look at your neighbor and say, I'm about to hear something good. Here's the key that we have to understand. What I've just done is I'm the fisherman and I put the line in the water and I put the bait on the hook and you bit. Now listen to me. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. So we walk around like we have it all together. We walk around like we are super holy and super good and super knowledgeable of the word, but where we have this crevice that we want to hide in our hearts are the people that have hurt us, that have damaged us. Some meaningful, some unmeaningful, but they hurt us. Maybe in a relationship. Maybe that person sitting next to you right now. Whatever it may be. Somewhere along the line, you got hurt. And you know what? Hurt doesn't care how young or old you are. Sin doesn't care how young or old you are. Unforgiveness can cause you to miss what God has for you. While you're on this earth, you miss blessings because of unforgiveness. While you're on this earth, you miss the goodness of God, the best that he has for you, because you're carrying around the weight of anger, bitterness, and frustration, fear, and despair, because the cancer of unforgiveness has begun to eat away at your joy. You can be as happy as can be and get a phone call from somebody that you're angry at and your joy goes away like that. It's as though someone just drilled a hole in the vessel of your joy and it drained away and then they plugged it up and it filled up with anger and bitterness and doubt that God can even do anything. I want you to know that God can do everything for you anytime. Are you with me? I mean, I'll stop preaching. I don't mind, but I really want to get this into your spirit. Shall I continue? I'm just saying to you that the importance of what God has sent me by to say is that he has a place for you in heaven. And he certainly wants you to show up. Have you ever done anything for somebody? Have you ever invited a group of guests to your home? Have you ever prepared a meal that you thought, I should be a Michelin star chef? It's how good it looks. And then all of a sudden, no one showed up for dinner. Have you ever looked at someone and say, I love you, and they don't say, I love you back, and you feel like, wow. You understand what I'm saying to you? There's this simplicity of life that we have. That we need to understand that God has given us the simplicity of life, but we have complicated it by what our desires are and what we want, not what God wants. You know, Jesus came on this earth. He was born to a virgin. He was born in a manger. No hotel, no Marriott card was used. No platinum card was used to get to that hotel. He was born in a manger where animals ate. The witnesses of his birth were donkeys, sheep, and cattle. Mary and Joseph were there. She birthed that baby by herself with her husband. There was not a doctor there. There was not a midwife there. It was them and the Lord and the angels. And Jesus was born and he was wrapped in swaddling clothes. Very, very rough. And it was only what people used in poverty. He wasn't wrapped in silk. He didn't have a golden toy to put in his hand to play, a golden rattle or anything like that. And she looked at him And she heard his coos. She felt his touch as he would reach for her neck as she would nurse him. And she would ponder all that was told about him. And Jesus lived a simple life as a carpenter's boy. And then when he came out into public ministry, when he was 30 years old, he came out with simplicity. He just wanted people to know that God had sent him, that he would deliver them through his death and resurrection from sin. And then we got involved. We took the rights to be unforgiving. I mean, if there's somebody in this church right now that have troubled you, has spoken behind your back, has criticized you, you need to forgive them. You need to do that. You need to love everybody. I mean, it doesn't matter who they are, what they're going through, what their sexual preference is, what kind of drugs they're doing, what kind of lifestyle they're leading. As long as they come into this house, you need to love them. You need to care for them. You need to love the backslider. You need to love that church boss. You need to love everybody. Because Jesus came because God loved everybody. There wasn't a list in Jesus' little iPad. This is who I've come to save. And you'd run up and say, am I on your list, Jesus? And he would just, you know, this iPad had like 100 million billion gigabytes of memory. And it didn't even need wireless because he was Jesus. He would just turn it on by a word. And he would search for your name there. Let me tell you, God's plan was that all mankind would be saved. Amen. Then we get involved. And we decide, I'm not going to forgive that person because they really hurt me. Do you know how many people that you've hurt individually? Things that you've said, got caught up in. Things that you shouldn't have said. You know, it's easy to think about how much they deserve to be troubled and uncomfortable because of how they've hurt me. But you can release them and you can release yourself from being imprisoned to that unforgiveness and being free to worship and free to run, free to dance. You see, there's a song that we sing in church. I am free to dance. I am free to run. I am free. But you know what? Every time that song is sung, I wait for somebody to come running by me. I wait for somebody to come dancing by me. I wait for the freedom of the Holy Spirit to come into the house of God. And you know what? I have not yet seen it. Because everybody is locked in because they're afraid to be free in Jesus. We are free in Jesus because the Spirit of the Lord is there. And where the Spirit is, there is liberty. And there is freedom indeed. We have the power in us to forgive others. Now, if you turn over there to Matthew in chapter 18, you're going to find the parable of the unforgiving servant. It's such a powerful, powerful parable. There was a man that was very wealthy. I mean, he was a loaner of money. Sometimes he would loan money to people, literally reach in his pocket or go into his bank account and loan people a lot of money. How many would like to have a friend like that? Look at those hands go up. I finally got a smile out of everybody with that one statement. There it is. But he would give money. He would loan it. But they had to give it back. So there was one that he loaned the money to. And that person owed him 1 year's worth of wages, or 10,000 denarii, owed it to him. One person did the calculations. It was about $1 million that he owed him, if you did the calculations according to our economy today. And when he saw the man, he knew that he needed to get that back. And when the man saw him, he knew, I better come up with a way to get out of this. Now, there we are. I need to come up with a way to get out of this. You see, we are famous for the way to get out of this. Matter of fact, we've really learned how to use the way to get out of this. To say the right thing at the right time, smile at the right person, and just do just as much as you need to do to clarify the fact that you're worthy of friendship. Are you with me? Am I digging? Am I getting too deep? I'm going to dig a little deeper. How's that sound? Let me say this to you. It's so important that we understand that when that rich man saw that man, he said to him, you need to pay me the money you owe me, because if not, I'm going to put you, your wife, and your children in prison till all that is paid off. Now, this wasn't like an Elijah thing where they knocked on the door back in 1 Kings, and they knocked on the door and they said, you need to pay us the money, or we want your sons to come and we're going to enslave them. Because, you see, this woman was a wife of a prophet, and that prophet had died. And so she found Elijah, and she said to him, Master, help me. I do not know what to do. And Elijah, I love him because he was really just forthright. He said, what do you want me to do? In other words, it's not my responsibility. I'm not going to deal with this. But then all of a sudden, a thought came into Elijah's mind. You know what? This is a miracle moment. A miracle moment. He said, what I want you to do is go out and collect vessels from all your neighbors. As many vessels as you can collect. He said, bring them into the home. Have your sons bring them into the house and close the door. Because I don't want anybody to see this miracle. I want them to see the results of the miracle. Sometimes we want everybody to see our miracle, but we don't want anybody to see the results of the miracle. You see, the results of the miracle is because God did a miracle and he doesn't want publicity about it. He wants you to show them what he can do for you if you'll obey him. Oh, someone shout today. I feel like maybe I'm in some sort of a quiet church. They made a movie called The Quiet Place. Have you seen it yet? And you got to be real quiet. You got to walk on ground that has sawdust on it. And you got to walk certain paths. Because if you make the noise that all of a sudden raises up those devils, they'll come and eat you alive. Somebody with me today? You know what I'm saying. Sometimes we just want to walk on that little quiet place. But you know what? It's time to shout when you come to church. You know, don't worry about the enemy. He's not in here. And if he is, I'll find him out in a minute. Let me tell you something. We just got to praise God, acknowledge God, know that God is in control. And he wrote the rule book. And that rule book is for us to follow. It's called the Bible, by the way. And there's a lot of things in there that help us. And the one I'm speaking about today is the major help that we need. Our minister this morning alluded to it. The men on the cross. But see, when they came into that room and they closed the door, God began to, with a little jar of oil, he filled up all these jars of oil. Vessels, and they paid their debt. And you know what? If there would have been more vessels, God would have kept on filling them. But the debt was paid. They were forgiven. Everything was beautiful again because they obeyed God. Amen. You see, this man here in Matthew 18, he begged the rich man, please forgive me of this debt. He pleaded with him. He cried. He travailed with all prayers and supplications. He was on his face before him crying out, not only for his own soul, for his own freedom, but for the freedom of his family. And you see, sometimes unforgiveness rolls off of you into your family. Because all of a sudden you want to talk about who you don't like anymore. You want to tell everybody what they did to you. Oh my goodness, that person did this to me. You're at dinner. I mean, you got the best dinner going that day, and you got to kill it by telling somebody how bad that person is across the way. And now your family's caught up in it. You see, that's how ugly unforgiveness. You see, unforgiveness is like a coach looking for a team. They want to draw into that. And God knows that. God knows what unforgiveness is all about. And you know why he knows that? Because Jesus came to forgive, not unforgive. Jesus came to forgive, not unforgive. Jesus came on this earth to do all that he did for one purpose, that we would go to heaven if we would repent. And then we would take what we have learned from him and we would do to others. Amen. To be a blessing to them. Amen. Are you following me? I'm trying to keep this just right down the middle of the road. So that rich man who was owed $1 million. $1 million. Said, go ahead. I'm gonna release you of that debt. Now, I don't know about you, but if I was in debt $1 million and I got released that Sunday when I came to church, when they said I'm free to run, I'm free to dance, let me tell you what I'd be doing. I'd do the run dance. I don't even know. I'd make one up. You know what I mean? I would just be like so happy. How would you like all your debt to be forgiven? Some of you don't care, huh? It's all right. All your debt. He was forgiven $1 million. I mean, the weight of $1 million debt is not easy to carry. Amen. And so he merrily went off on his way, and he saw a person that owed him $20. And when he saw that person who owed him $20, he said, where's my 20? He said, I don't have it. I'm not giving it to you. And so he got so angry. Now, here's a guy that just got forgiven of $1 million. Now, that's you and I. We've been forgiven of 1,000,000 sins, 1,000,000 lashes. We've been forgiven of the things that have caused us pain and anguish and sickness and disease and sometimes death. Forgiven. Set free. Oh, if you don't shout, I'm going to shout in a minute. Praise God. Set free. Don't forget you are saved, sanctified, full of the Holy Ghost, empowered by God to lay hands on the sick and they shall be healed, to pray for the lost and to call out to the name of Jesus and have him bring miracles into your life. Oh, I just go to church. Praise God. I'm just Church of God. I'm kind of used to going here. Like you, Pastor Dennis, I've been going here almost 38 years myself. I mean, I've been going here a long time. I remember when Matt was just a boy. I mean, just a boy. Now look at the man he's grown up to be. I remember when little Ray was little. I remember when Angie used to sit in the front row. I remember when I had black hair and a black mustache. But let me tell you something. I don't want to forget what God has done. We're those people that have been forgiven. Then we find somebody out there that has hurt us. So our nature takes over. We say, God, I'll take care of this. I'll take care of this. I'm going to take care of this, God. I can handle this. I'm going to let them know what it's like. I'm going to let them know what's up. You don't mess with me. They don't call me the Godfather for nothing. If I can't do it, I'll get somebody to do it for me. I'll make sure. We'll be like the guy on the other side of those three that day at Calvary, who rattled Jesus, who tried to have Jesus bring a miracle, force God to do a miracle when God was in. Listen, I don't know. I just felt that. I feel like preaching now. Told God and wanting God to do a miracle when God was in the midst of doing the greatest miracle ever. You see, sometimes we get God and we want Him to do what we want when He's in the midst of doing what we need. Someone shout, praise God. And so all He had to do that day is to be like the guy on the other side of the cross there. I'm a mess, Jesus. I'm up here because I deserve it. I heard about you. You don't deserve any of this you're going through, and you look worse than I do. They only beat me a little bit, but I can't even recognize who you are, because the Bible even says that His visage was so torn up you couldn't even tell that He was a human being. Now, I've seen that. I grew up in the streets back in Cleveland, Ohio, and I've seen people beaten that bad. I've seen my own brother-in-law beaten so bad in Hayward, California, that the only way I could recognize it was him when I went to see him in the hospital was by the tip of his nose. He was beaten so bad. I understand what that's like, and to see that. But He looked at Jesus and He recognized Him for who He was, not what He looked like. Someone say amen. You see, sometimes we want to go ahead and we want to put Jesus in a different kind of a description. He's unchangeable. He's the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. Not one said, I'm a mess. I deserve to be here. You don't deserve to be here. So listen, when you get to where you're going, would you let them know I'm going to come there too? In that humility, He was saying, I'm a mess. I need forgiveness, and I'm going to forgive everybody. Jesus says, I want to go where you're going, because I don't want to ever live on an earth like this again. I want to be a man that has known you and forgiven by you. I recognize you. Jesus has said, you know what? My friend, you're with me. Even as this day is, you will be with me in paradise forever. You know, the one who described paradise, not only did He describe it by a word, He created it. And not only before there was a creation of it, it had always been. It had no beginning and no end. That's where God wants us to walk into, an eternity that is so pure, so wonderful, so powerful, so alive, so joyful, that they don't even have to sing the song, I am free to dance. Amen. I am free to run. I am free to shout. I am free in Jesus Christ. And I love people so much. Now, remember when I talked about love at the beginning? I love people so much. Even if they hurt me, I'm going to forgive them. Where's my 20? Where's my $20, man? I don't have it. What? His whole countenance changed. He was joyful that moment. Thought he's going to have 20 bucks in his pocket now. He just got released of a million. Aren't we like that? We always want more. Remember I said that? See, I know where I'm going when I preach. Mm-hmm. Always want more. He had the $1 million. He was free. My goodness. You drive your car better when you don't have any more payments on it. Free. But he wanted more. He wanted $20 added on to his freedom. 20 measly dollars. And he wouldn't do it. And so the guy said, call the police over, arrest him, and put him in jail till it's paid. I love the part that we never talk about. The part of it is that he had some friends there, and they saw what he did. You see, what happened is when he got free, he called all his friends together and said, man, look, I'm free. Hey, you guys, I talked him out of it. I'm free. Man, I just talked him out of it. The guy was the biggest fool in the world, but I got him. I got over on him. I'm free of a million. And they watched him do this to somebody who owed him 20. Owed him 20. And they went and they told the guy that freedom of a million. Those people were disgusted. Those people saying, I'm not going to be around a guy that's going to manipulate like this and then take from somebody who doesn't have much at all. I'm not going to do that. And they took that one man who was free of a million and put him in jail, probably for life, with his children and his wife. Now hear me now as I'm going to close here in a minute. Hear this. Sometimes we get ourselves so bound up that we affect everybody around us. You come to church and you're all negative. You're all uptight. You're like, you know, I hope the sermon doesn't last long today. I hope they don't sing 50,000 songs that I don't know. I just want to go to church because if I don't, I'm going to get a phone call. Or I'm going to get that famous, we missed you last Sunday. I'm going to go. Because I'm not in the mood for the phone call, the big smile, I missed you last Sunday. I'm just going to go, but basically because what I wanted to watch on TV got canceled this week. And so maybe I'll go and somebody will be kind enough to take me out to breakfast. You know, you can go with the hunger look. You ever gone to church with the hunger look? This look. You know, you just got to put your hand around your stomach and rub a little bit. Somebody, wow, they're hungry. I'm going to take them out to lunch. You know? But let me tell you something. We need to understand that the Bible's clear that if we take unforgiveness with us to church and we ask for forgiveness, we're not going to be forgiven. Now, wait. I am too forgiven. No, but your unforgiveness, your personal unforgiveness that you're holding towards someone else. You want God to forgive you of all that you've done wrong, but you're not going to forgive that person out in the workforce or that neighbor or something like that. You're not. And you expect God to forgive you. The Bible's very clear about a scripture. He is no respecter of persons. He doesn't show favoritism. Aren't you glad for that? He doesn't show favoritism. Men show favoritism. Have you ever noticed that in church world? Some people get all the blessings and other people don't get anything. You ever notice that? That's not God. That's men trying to do what God is telling them not to do. So I want to ask you today something that's very important. How important is your destiny? How important is your future? How important is your tomorrow? How important is the end of your day? How important is this next decision that you make? To think for a moment that God would have the audacity of forgiving God, the creator of the heavens and earth, who drew light out of darkness, who took man out of dirt and created him and created woman out of the side of man and gave them this beautiful place to live, and they fell to the Satan that we fight today. And God sent his son Jesus to defeat him at Calvary's cross, to take the keys of life and death from him, and to raise on the third day, alive forevermore, the bodily resurrection, and then spend 40 more days visiting his friends and disciples, letting them know that he is alive and giving them message to go forth. Go into Jerusalem. Wait for the power that you are endued from on high. Burst the church in Acts chapter 2, 1 through 4. Great things happen. People are forgiving everybody. They're bringing their stuff to the church, and they're giving it to people. They're sharing everything. And then Ananias and Sapphira come along, and they start bending the rules a little bit. And they lied about the land they sold. Things start changing. The church starts gathering, and war begins. And things begin to say, I'm better than that person. I'm a Jew, and I'm better than the Gentile. You see, if it wasn't for the Jews, hear me, I'm closing right now. If it wasn't for the Jews, if it wasn't for the Jews breaking away from God by building their own precepts upon precepts, their laws upon laws, if they would have stayed faithful to God throughout their whole community with God, the Gentiles, we would not have been saved. But he came to find a people that knew him not, that he would bless them. And grafted us, the book of Romans talks about it, grafted us on to the tree of Israel. And a graft, as many of you know, is stronger than the branch that grows out. And we are part because they failed to obey God. Told you I was leading you someplace. What God wants us to do is not walk out of here today failing him. What God wants us to do, what Jesus wants us to do, what the Holy Spirit wants us to do, is to be thankful that we have a moment of time in our length of moments that we are given on this earth to say, God, I forgive those that have offended me. I forgive them. It's going to be hard. It's going to be hard. I want to call an altar call here, and I want you to listen to my voice. I've been preaching the gospel for nearly 43 years now, 42 years, something of that sort. And there's been a lot of people that have offended me and offended my family. And there's been a lot of times where I just didn't want to forgive them. I wanted just to be angry. I wanted to be angry. I wanted to make plans to hurt them. I wanted to do something. Is it all right for me to be real to you? Sometimes people think that, you know, I walk on a cloud. I don't. The only cloud that I walk on is the iCloud when I'm getting my sermons together. All I know is that we are all human beings in this room today. We're growing. We're getting older. We don't stay young. We keep growing. We want to stay young, and we buy all this stuff to stay young. I got this new cream that I bought, the Neutrogena. It's supposed to take the wrinkles out of your face. I put it on there, and every morning I'm thinking, man, do I look good. I'm talking about the inside. The inside. Husband forgiving wife, wife forgiving husband. Children forgiving the parents forgiving the children. Cousins and relatives and friends forgiving one another. Forgiving your enemies. You are empowered to do that today. You are empowered by the Holy Spirit to walk out of here today. I forgave that one. I forgave him. I forgave him. And I'm not going to hold anybody in prison of unforgiveness anymore. I'm going to be free. No matter who it is, I'm going to be free. I have forgiven so many people in my life. I have gone to the altars of God and just knelt there and said, God, I forgive them. You know, and I know this. Now listen, here's the flip side. I have gone knowing that I'm forgiving people, but the Holy Spirit has already said to me many times, do you know how many people have had to forgive you in their heart? Because you said something you shouldn't have said. Maybe you were a little too strong. And I gulped and I said, I don't want to know the number. I just trust you, God. And I just begin to forgive everybody that I know. And today I stand before you. I have no ought against anybody. I don't want to hold anybody. I want everybody to go to heaven. So I'm asking you today, in the name of Jesus.